my job.
I explore the country looking for people who aren't afraid to get dirty. Hard-working men and women who earn an honest living doing the kinds of jobs that make civilized life possible for the rest of us.
Hey, Mike, come on back up here and get to work. Quit playing around down there.
Now, get ready to get dirty.
Coming up on Dirty Jobs.
Tendere sacria monti a devi.
Oh, God.
When this big kid goes to a candy store.
Attaboy.
Oh, yeah.
I get my sticky hands all over the merchandise.
I like it here.
And learn more than I ever wanted to know.
Person came in and they wanted chocolate dog poo.
This just completely fell apart on national television. What are we going to do now?
Then.
Luis, is there any hope for a tire like this?
Sure. Of course there is.
Old rubber meets the road when I visit a tire retreading plant that's giving recycled wheels a second spin.
How long should it take a grown man to get a nail out of a tire, Luis?
Yeah, that would sail right through my hand in no time. Ever get hurt doing this?
Just sure.
It's like a smelly donut.
And later, one of the most interesting jobs in the Air Force is not in the air. It's down here.
Is it dangerous?
Very dangerous.
Repairing fuel tanks from the inside.
This is insane.
His job is going to be to get you out of the tank so we can get emergency medical people over here to take care of you.
Perfect.
Oh, God.
Lebanon, Pennsylvania is a steel town, also known for its bologna and pretzels. But I'm not here today for any of those things. No, I'm here because after 75 years in business, Wirtz Candy needs some help in the kitchen. Hey, I can help.
The business was founded in 1931 by William H. Wirtz. Now it's run by his grandchildren, Richard.
You must be Richard.
I'm Richard.
Bill.
I'm Mike.
And Gene.
You're Gene, right?
I'm Gene.
Who still use many of the recipes their grandfather created 75 years ago.
How are you?
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. Lovely little shop you have here.
Thank you.
Been around, what, like 1,000 years or something like that?
75.
75.
Pretty long.
Okay. And, you need help in the kitchen.
We do.
The Wirtzes make a lot of candy. But we're going to start by whipping up a pot of their best seller, caramel corn. The cooking goes on right up front by the cash register.
Behind is where we're going to be cooking.
Mm-hmm.
And this brass kettle?
It's a copper kettle.
Brass, copper.
Let's not split hairs.
Yeah.
The important thing is...
That's true.
This is wood for stirring.
That's a wooden paddle.
Specifically designed for the stirring of candy
Absolutely,
corn?
Absolutely, yeah.
Brown sugar. What do we do with it?
3 pounds into this bowl.
Is this your primary job here at the store?
Actually, we do all of the jobs. I make caramel corn. I'm also the janitor, the plumber.
Would you say you're a caramel corn specialist?
I am a specialist.
Good,
yeah, I'm very particular.
I want to learn from the best, frankly.
Well, I am the best.
Good. All right, we have 3 pounds of brown sugar in the scale. What else you need?
Corn syrup. Yeah, you can get it out of
That's
there.
That's corn syrup?
That is corn syrup. That's corn syrup and sugar are your key ingredients for almost any candy. You'll find that out when you read the labels.
Oh, I never read the labels.
Okay.
Full of depressing news.
Yeah, twirl it around there. Let gravity take over.
Not that long a show, Richard.
Well, yeah, you've heard of molasses in January. Well, corn syrup in winter isn't much quicker.
This is very exciting.
That goes into the kettle.
Uh-huh.
Just right on in. Turn on your heat.
This?
Yep.
What is it, gas?
Obviously. Yes, gas, yeah. Take your paddle.
Yeah.
Mix that around into a nice paste. Eventually that'll cook off, and it'll become a nice, clear mix. And then that's when you're ready to add the butter. Once that starts to smoke, that's your caramelization taking place.
Uh-huh.
And caramelization is basically burnt sugar. Like if you don't let that smoke enough, it'll come out sugary, and you might as well just throw the whole batch out.
In this case, the goal is to burn.
To a degree.
To a degree. That's...
Yeah.
Yeah?
We're ready for the butter now. And you want to go along the perimeter of the kettle.
Don't just plop it in?
No.
Now, what is the purpose of this technique?
It just makes it easier to stir. Oh, it's okay. Now, you see how that consistency's changing a little with the addition of the butter there?
I sure do.
Yeah. Because you're going to need the key ingredient for caramel corn, and that is popcorn.
No, I was going to guess. I was going to say popcorn.
Yeah. Dump it right on in there.
Right on in.
Right on in. Now, have you ever paddled a canoe before? Kind of pull up.
Uh-huh.
Just like you're paddling down the river. And
paddling Madeline home.
Yeah. Now, you're probably right-handed, aren't you?
It doesn't matter. I'm equally incompetent with either limb.
Go along the edge there, all around. Well,
yeah?
You're doing pretty good for a beginner.
Yeah. Pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. So then grab it, and then you want to dump it in the window. Oh, yeah. Very nice. Yeah, that's good to go. That's ready to sell.
All right. So now we just wait for the masses to descend upon us.
Ah, yeah.
Slow day here, Lebanon.
Yeah.
Done with the caramel corn, it's time to meet a lady known as Messy Bessie. Something tells me we're going to get along just fine.
Okay.
What are we working on?
We're making Irish potatoes.
Are they ready to eat like this, or do we cook them?
Nope. This is it.
It's that simple?
That simple. Okay. You go in here with your hands.
Yeah. About like so?
Right.
Well.
Put it in here.
Right.
Twirl it around and shake off the excess.
So what do you call it when you make a mistake?
A dud.
A dud. And it's traditional to eat the duds?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. No, look, that's too small. This is
no
good.
No, that's fine.
No, it's too small. I'm telling you, this is a dud. See?
Oh, okay.
3, 4, 5. Now we have 25. What else do you do?
Peanut butter creams and opera fudge.
What?
Opera fudge.
Upper fudge?
Opera fudge, yes.
Opera fudge?
Yes.
Fudge for opera singers?
Okay, now this is a piece of the opera fudge.
That's the opera
that's
fudge?
It's all cream.
So?
And it has a bitter coating to it.
No, when you're making opera fudge, are you ever inspired to sing?
No, not really. I don't make the opera fudge, but my boss does, and he's singing up a tune when
he's
he
sing there. When he makes it?
Oh, yes, he does.
You hear a little bit of that.
Vecchiasi mara senti.
I hear that.
I resto al pianto scendere sacri monti o devi. Let me graziare.
Sing along if you like. You know the words?
Oh, no.
It's Italian.
Ricevi.
Well, this show just got a little weird, didn't it?
It's all right.
She touched me. You're sweet.
Thank you.
I'd like to see some more fudge, Gamity.
Coming up.
We requested boots?
Yes, you did.
Chocolate makes me into a naughty boy.
This just violates every single rule I ever grew up with.
And then, I discover the great mysteries of tire recycling.
Luis, why does it go in white and come out black?
I've been trying to find out that for a long time. I don't know why.
It's one of the mysteries.
It's one of the mysteries of recapping tires.
I'm going to need to get to the bottom of that.
And later, there's toxic fumes in tight places. As I join up with the U.S. Air Force tank rats and learn the sophisticated science of stopping fuel leaks.
Has it occurred to you that this $2 billion aircraft is basically held together with rubber and string?
Yeah, it has.
Well, it's official. Bessie is messy. And back here in yet another part of the Wurtz World Headquarters, we have Bill and
Hi,
a giant
Mike.
Kettle. How are you?
Good, fine.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to make some caramel so that later on we can dip a few things like the pretzels and things.
Okay.
So the first thing we got to do is weigh out 11 pounds of corn syrup. There. Now, there we go. You know what we say in Pennsylvania Dutch about this?
What do you say?
You're very schmatzy.
Schmatzy?
Yes.
That's Pennsylvania Dutch word?
Yes, it is.
And it means...
Don't you feel schmatzy?
Does it mean well-rounded, highly educated, and charming overall?
I think it means sloppy.
Oh, yeah, I'm schmatzy then.
This is dextrose.
I see.
A.K.A. corn sugar. And I want you to, maybe in an area about like this, just shake that, get the lumps out,
mm-hmm.
put your hand in there and kind of yucks it around.
That's another word I'm not totally familiar with. Yucks?
Yeah.
with the Pennsylvania Dutch?
Well, that, you're kind of noaching it, too.
I'm yuxing and noaching?
Yes, you are.
Good grief. And that makes me, what was the first word you used?
Schmatzy.
Schmatzy. Yotzing. What?
Now, we use dextrose instead of cane sugar because our peanut butter is a very intense peanutty flavor. We don't want it overpoweringly sweet.
No, no, I love peanut butter. I didn't catch that. There's peanut butter in what we're making?
We're making peanut butter. Peanut butter cups.
And
you're
going
to coat them. Here's the secret ingredient. Dark roasted, pure peanut.
Not good. Oh, yeah. Nothing chunky about that.
No. Just kind of dump it off.
How come peanuts are so fattening?
They're fattening, but they're good for it. It's good fat.
It's the old good fat argument?
Yeah.
I love that.
Get your dextrose. Attaboy! There we're going. Now we're sifting. Corn syrup. Get a spoonful and then drizzle all around.
I still can't understand exactly all the properties of corn syrup.
Now, it's time to press this out.
Oh, now that is impressive.
Mamma mia, that's a spicy peanut butter cup.
It's peanut.
Now we're going to make the little balls. Do this one.
Just broke an antique. Now I see there's peanut butter is being extruded. They kind of grouped up here in row two. So the press is basically empty.
Right.
We've created 3-4 trays of peanut butter balls.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens to the balls at this point?
Well, they're going to be coated in chocolate, which will be your next lesson. So if you would please take these out to Willow.
Willow.
And tell her you're ready.
Got peanut butter for you.
Oh, okay. I have a seat for you right here.
Thank you. Gosh, it's like you knew I was coming.
Okay.
And you're right-handed, right?
It doesn't matter.
Well,
right.
It'd probably be easier.
Okay, sure.
So we'll slide these over to your left.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to pour chocolate all over the table right here.
So the goal is to pour the chocolate directly on the table?
Right. We're going to cool it down on the table because it's too warm to use right away.
And I take the ladle full. So you're saying protect the cup with my hand.
Well, you should have chocolate on this hand. Hold on to the ladle with that hand, and then
all right. This is still we're
right-handed.
Working on the theory that I'm right-handed.
Yeah.
All right.
And then take it over and just pour it right in front of you there.
This just violates every single rule I ever grew up with. Oh, God.
So now you're going to take your right hand that's already chocolatey,
yes,
and you're going to swirl that around on the table and cool it down.
You guys really get your hands in your work
here. Oh, yeah. And that's actually productive, too, because that'll cool it down also.
So if the goal is to cool it down, can I ask why it's being heated up?
Well, we have to heat it up to get it in a liquid state, for one, mm-hmm, and then secondly, it makes the crystals come apart. And
chocolate
then
has crystals?
It does have crystals in it. So when it cools down completely, when it's a finished piece of chocolate, it has a nice snap to it.
I just thought I was making a chocolatey mess on the table, but I'm actually aligning crystals.
Yes.
Okay.
And we'll kind of round up all of our chocolate into the middle here. And then we'll take one of these peanut butters and kind of roll it through. Get some chocolate on there. And drop it in. Tamp it down a little bit and let go.
So simple. But these have got to be good. These have got to be some of the best things going.
Oh, they're delicious.
That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to combine these two. Whole works. And then you let it drip off your fingers.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe.
I'm not making really good time here, though, am I?
I'll take this away and
thanks,
then we'll get a different board.
It's great meeting you.
Good meeting you, too.
You're Jean, right?
I'm Jean. That's right.
Nice to meet you. What
nice
do you
to
do
meet
here?
You.
Well, I'm also a candy coater, but I'm also a chocolate artist.
You're an artist?
Yes.
And what have you done over there? You've already made, what are these, boots?
That's a pair of chocolate boots.
Ooh,
and so they are made out of semi-sweet chocolate.
Oh, my God, that's great. It's okay to pick them up?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, that's heavy.
And the way that I made these was I went to the store and got a pair of boots, and I made a mold out of gelatin.
What size are these, by the way?
I really don't know.
Small for me. Wide enough, though.
Yeah, too large
great.
For me.
Look at that, chocolate boots.
Yeah.
We are going to make, we made some chocolate dough.
Mm-hmm.
What it does is it makes it very pliable, just like Play-Doh. So you can roll it out, you can sculpt with it.
So you can basically make anything you want once you get it into that,
that's correct.
That state.
One time we had a special request. A person came in and they wanted chocolate dog poo for their friend who was opening a veterinary clinic. And so I made exactly
made
what you had.
You made a pile of dog poo.
I made it a pile
chocolate
of dog.
Poo.
Yeah.
Is that what we're going to make here?
That's what we're going to make there. Look. Look, it's already taking shape. Look.
Well, that's rather disappointing.
Oh, my.
Oh, dear.
And if you wanted to add texture to it, why, you could even put a
few... Oh, that's fantastic, like little pieces of corn.
I don't know. It's really drug me down a bad path.
This is a weird candy shop. First, I met a very charming older woman named Bessie. Then I met a couple of brothers who just said the darndest thing. And now this budding artist has just crafted a pile of dog poo and stuck a peanut into it to make it more realistic. I like it here. So the next time you're in Lebanon, Pennsylvania, make sure to stop by Wirtz Candies. They've been doing it right now for 75 years. Ask them about the Dirty Job special. Tell them Mike sent you.
Did you get it?
Coming up, I burn rubber at a tire retreading plant and learn the secrets of the trade.
Tiny little pieces of invisible thread. Oh.
You want to do it?
If tires had feelings, I imagine these guys would feel depressed. Look at them. Old, worn out, beat up. They've come to the end of the road. But there's hope for tires like these. Retreads. Like this fella. Naturally, getting an old tire like this to look all shiny and new again is a dirty job.
Retreading truck tires has become a multi-billion dollar business that saves the trucking industry over $2 billion every year from what it would cost to purchase new tires. Here at SNL Retread, they get a piece of that pie, turning out about 13,000 retreaded tires annually.
So I'm inside SNL right now, inside the actual facility. This is Luis. This is a very, very dirty tire. Luis, is there any hope for a tire like this?
Sure, of course there is.
What are we going to do to this tire today?
We're going to see if it's any good so it can be retread. What you do, you clean the tire real good. It's a real dirty, you know. So you get a rag.
You clean the tire?
With a rag, with a dirty rag.
That's the dirtiest rag I've ever seen. Was it originally white?
It was a towel.
It was
yeah.
A towel.
It was a towel.
What happened here?
There's a nail.
All right.
Probably got a whole bunch.
So basically, you find a nail like this, and it's gotta come out. How do you do it?
It has to come out.
What's that tool called you're using there?
This in an ice pick.
A professional ice pick?
Yeah.
All right. And that's just a pair of snips?
Just pull it.
Gotcha. Whoa, whoa, look at this. Stop. Yeah. Oh, man, you ever get hurt doing this?
Oh, just sure.
Yeah. Sure?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, that would sail right through my hand in no time.
Yeah. You have to be real careful. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, feel free to tell me that stuff right at the very beginning, the whole careful thing.
Yeah.
That's not blood, is it?
No, that's paint, whatever.
Red paint?
Seems like it, yeah.
It's not blood, it's red paint. How much you reckon this tire cost when it was new?
This one over here costs around $350.
$350. Right now it's worth nothing, but when we retread it, how much can you sell it for?
Probably $150.
$150?
Yeah.
All right.
Now we have to clean the inside.
Tell me again why the inside needs to be cleaned?
We have to look for nails, you know, for
right.
Cats.
Nails and what?
Cat.
Did you say cat?
No, cat. When you cut something.
Oh, cuts.
I'm sorry.
I thought you said cats.
No.
We're looking for cats in the tire. No cats.
No cats.
So how do you stop this thing? Just like so?
No, he doesn't do it by yourself. You have to do it.
Oh, I see another nail. Bring it back in this direction just a little bit?
Yeah.
This guy?
Side, yeah. The other way.
Oh. Anybody ever get sucked through this thing?
Not yet. You might be the first one, though.
It's really stuck in there. Appears I'm incompetent. How long should it take a grown man to get a nail out of a tire, Luis?
Not too long.
Thanks. Work just a little more. It makes me nervous when he watches me. I got you now.
Yep. That way.
It's number 4. 5. Thank you.
You got it.
Oh, look at that. That's an upside down screw. That sounded dirty. 6. What do you think?
That looks good.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's looks good.
So this is station 2.
Station 2. Uh-huh. Over here, we're gonna buff the tire.
All right, let's buff it.
I'm gonna use my mask.
One thing I've learned, if the boss is wearing a mask, you're wearing a mask.
Yeah.
Oddly, Luis's buffer doesn't actually buff. What it does do is shape the tire to correct size before getting a new tread.
See all the rust?
That's all gotta come out?
Yep. Be careful, huh? All you, be careful.
What do you actually call this little device here?
This one we call a dog collar.
A dog collar?
Yeah.
A very kinky-looking device you got there. I think I saw those for sale down on Melrose.
Uh-oh.
I just punctured it.
That's a release belt. You have to open that valve.
This guy?
Yeah.
This makes a funny sound.
It does? Like what?
Actually, it's not the tire.
Yeah, right there.
Yeah, that's not 50 pounds.
No?
No.
100?
Maybe more. Maybe 400.
Now we want to apply black cement. Remember, black cement.
Black cement, got it.
Uh-huh.
Where do you get black cement?
Where we get it?
Yeah, I mean, is it just like white cement, only you dye it?
You dye it, yeah.
You turn it black?
It's white, then turn black, yeah. That's the hole that you made?
Yes, that's the hole I made. Well, you told me to.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
We're done with this.
Huh? How fast does that thing get going if you really step on it?
This thing, pretty fast.
I mean, it looks like it cooks.
Yeah, pretty fast. Can you hear that?
Coming up.
I'd like to get one of these machines for myself.
Okay.
For the living room, you know? Conversation piece, friends come over,
nice,
fill
eh?
Up the tire, deflate the tire.
Then.
You ever feel kind of claustrophobic?
I help repair a jet gas tank filled with deadly toxic fumes.
So tell me about the smell. How long does it take to get this off your skin?
I don't think it ever really comes off.
Now, what do you call this thing?
This is an extruder gun.
Extruder gun?
Yeah. You have to be real even and smooth, okay?
Even and smooth.
Yeah. Don't touch it. Don't touch it, because otherwise the rubber won't stick to the tire.
Right. Just fill the holes and stop talking.
Yeah, right?
Yep. I don't want to touch the tire.
No, you don't want to touch the tire.
Oh, boy. Luis, why does it go in white and come out black?
I've been trying to find out that for a long time. I don't know why.
It's one of the mysteries.
It's one of the mysteries of recapping tires.
I'm going to need to get to the bottom of that, because in the world of tires, everything eventually turns black.
Yeah.
Where am I going with this now?
We're going to go to step 4.
Step
right?
4.
Right there.
Is there anything special about carrying a tire
yes.
now?
You have to be careful not to touch the top of the tire, okay? Be careful, okay?
Carry the tire, but don't touch the tire.
No, but don't touch it. It's only 50 pounds.
No, it's not.
Okay.
Here, let me do that for you. This is just the kind of menial task I excel at.
All right. You deflate the tire over here, and you inflate the tire over here.
I'd like to get one of these machines for myself, for the living room, you know? Conversation piece, friends come over,
nice, eh?
Fill up a tire, deflate the tire, parties
simple.
We could have.
Real simple.
Sure.
Right now, we're going to put the cushion gun.
Is that cushion?
No, that's plastic.
That's just plastic. That's
this
cushion.
That's cushion gun. You want to put it yourself, or you want me to show you how?
I think it's best, yeah. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Let me show you.
Spin that around?
No, let me do it myself.
The blue's nice.
There you are. Now we're going to stitch it.
Stitch it to what?
Stitch your head down.
Has the stitching started?
Yep.
Where's the yarn? Where's the tire drive off? Tiny little pieces of invisible thread.
I mean, it's compressing those wheels against the tire.
See, if it were up to me, I'd call it a compressor.
How you call it, really?
Nah, a stitcher. There's no stitches. You see, but right there, it's called a stitcher head up, stitcher head down. It just
makes no sense.
Makes no sense.
You don't want to try it?
Well, all I saw you do was press a button.
Uh-huh.
Luis, I swear, I don't know what we just did.
We're just going to take it off the plastic, but the cushion gum is going to stay on.
Oh, the gum that's on the underside of the blue.
It's going to stay on the tire. There you are. Huh?
Okay. Now, is this something you trust me to do, or is this a...
Yeah.
Yeah?
I trust you. It's all yours. Try not to touch the rubber, okay?
Don't touch the rubber.
Don't touch the rubber.
Right. Don't touch the tire. Don't look at the tire. I can touch this, right?
You can touch, okay. Yeah. But just to make sure it goes straight.
All right. But I'm scared to touch anything now, because you've yelled at me twice now for touching stuff.
I did? Already?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
Well, you gave me that look again. Yeah, now I see what you're doing. Okay. It just occurred to me, I don't know what I'm doing. Well, what do you call this thing?
A cutting saw. That's it.
A cutter.
That's it.
You see how much sense it makes to call a cutting device a cutter, as opposed to, like, a compressing device a stitcher?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, you can let it go.
What in the heck? What in the world is this? If you tell me to lie down and put my feet in the stirrups, I'm out of here. So what do you call this thing?
How do you call this machine?
Don't even tell me this doesn't have a name. I'm getting the feeling you're about to move very quickly and do a lot of things that are going to confuse me.
No, see?
Oh.
There you are.
Oh.
Now we're going to put this envelope on this tire.
But that's it.
That's it. That's all it does.
The tire is sealed into the envelope to prevent the steam from coming into contact with the new tread during the bonding process.
This is called a tread bonder.
It's a tread bonder.
That's a great name because I can tell by the name that we're going to bond the tread.
The tread, yeah.
Okay. And down it goes?
Down it goes. Very amazing, huh?
I almost understand.
Almost.
For me, it's good.
Yeah.
I'm on the verge of insight. So it's just like a pressure cooker in a kitchen.
Uh-huh.
Now that's...
See the steam.
That stinks.
It does, yeah.
It's like a smelly donut.
Man, that stinks.
But beautiful, though. Looks brand new. Brand new 300, retread 150.
Pretty good deal, huh?
I'll take four of them right now. We're done.
No, not yet.
What now?
We still got to paint the tires.
Paint them?
Yeah.
What color you want to paint it?
If we paint it white, it might come out black, right?
I'm sure it will. I'll go after you. All right, I'm going to take a wild guess and say that that's the paint.
That's the paint.
You went with black, did you?
Everything is black. That's good, too.
Well, he's been at it for 30 years, breathing new life into old tires. He's Luis, and you know what he is.
Dirty. Very dirty.
Coming up.
This is one crazy job.
Oh, yeah.
When I help fix the leaky gas tank on a $2 billion aircraft.
Is there anything else in there that we might find?
I get a stinky little surprise.
I got toilet juice down here.
Today I've come to the McConnell Air Force Base in Wichita, Kansas, to visit with the men and women of the 22nd Air Refueling Wing. Using these KC-135 Stratotankers, they fulfill a simple and critical mission: to keep our long-range fighters and bombers fully fueled in midair, enabling our pilots to fly further, faster. Unfortunately, my job is not up here in the fresh air. No, it's down here in the toxic fumes, doing a little repair work.
Conducting the maintenance on a KC-135R Stratotanker is unlike any other job in the United States Air Force. This thing is basically like a flying filling station. Fully loaded, it holds over 100 tons of highly combustible, incredibly toxic, and unbelievably smelly jet fuel. Today, we're going to clean the gas tank. I'm here now with Senior Master Sergeant Ken Casey. How are you, sir?
Good.
Actually, not a sir, because you're a sergeant, right?
That's correct.
I'm learning. This is a big plane.
Yes, it's a very big plane.
And what is your exact function here?
I'm in charge of some folks that you're going to meet today, the guys that maintain the fuel tanks on the KC-135.
Now, the whole thing is basically a fuel tank, right?
Yes, sir. It's one flying gas tank.
How old is the plane?
They're between 45 and 50 years old.
So you're in charge of the maintenance on a plane that's half a century old that basically is full of jet fuel all the time?
Yes, sir.
That's an interesting job.
It's a very interesting job.
Is it dangerous?
Very dangerous.
The people who do this dangerous job call themselves tank rats.
This is Sergeant Lindstrom. She's the person to be in the tank with you today.
I'm going in the tank with you?
Yes.
Great.
This is Airman Strew. He's going to be the attendant for today's job.
Airman, okay.
His job is to pull you out of the tank if something goes wrong.
So what do you mean if something goes wrong? What's going to go wrong?
Just in case you should have to pass out on us today inside the tank, his job is going to be get you out of the tank so we can get emergency medical people over here to take care of you.
Perfect. So the problem we have today specifically is what?
Well, there was a fuel leak on the outside of the wing.
Right.
So we're going to go inside and scrape the old sealant off where the leak's at and reseal it with new sealant.
Well, how do we get into the plane? Do we go up through the main?
This little door right here.
That's not a door.
It is a door.
Well, where's the actual tank where all the gas is?
The whole wing is a tank. You ready?
Well,
here's your tools, and I'm going to go up first, and then you can follow me up.
All right, I'm going in.
Because the fuel fumes inside this tank are so intense, the wing is hooked up to an aggressive air ventilation system before anyone dares go inside it. One side effect is that there's so much wind exhausting out of this little portal that it turns your Tolex suit into a balloon.
God, are you kidding? This is a gas tank?
Yes, it is.
Where am I supposed to go?
Well, you're going to lay down right here.
So I'm supposed to go forward?
Yes, you are.
This is insane.
And there's an area up there to your left where you're going to be scraping the sealant.
My job was to scrape off the old sealant so we could put on a fresh layer. But even without scraping, the old stuff fell off in chunks, which could explain why the tank was leaking.
Oh, yeah, there's the sealant.
I just hope my handiwork doesn't create any new leaks.
Hey, Sarge?
Yeah?
Are you specially qualified for this job because you're small and light?
No, I actually chose this job.
What the hell? Did you lose a bet?
Once the old sealant has been scraped off the rivets, it's time to apply a fresh coat of this rubbery goo to keep any more fuel from leaking out.
Okay, and what exactly is sealant?
Sealant is the stuff we use. Oh, I can't think of exactly what it is. See those rivets with the light shining on?
There?
And there should be a couple underneath that little flapper valve.
All right. I guess they don't have to be stingy with this stuff, right?
No, not at all. Just glom it on like all those other ones next to it are.
Am I getting them? Those look like the only three that were completely undone.
Yep, that's it.
All right, well, how the heck are we going to get out of here?
There you go.
Good.
One more leg and you got it.
I am never getting out of here.
There we go.
I am not meant to bend this way.
You're not stuck, yay!
Oh, man. Now that's the kind of exit I was talking about. This is as bad as it gets?
No.
Come on.
I got a bladder cell for you, just waiting for you. You get to pull it out.
I get to pull out a bladder?
Yes, you do.
This is the bladder right behind you.
Okay.
We'll give you a little bit of background before we take you over to Sergeant Dickey, and he's going to show you how to take one of these out of the aircraft.
Well, first of all, how many of these are in the aircraft?
There's 16 of these in the aircraft.
So the fuel goes from bladder to bladder?
Correct. As you see that here on the bottom, the rings that you see on the bottom, this is where the plumbing interconnects that allows the gas to pass from one cell to the next.
How do you know when a bladder goes bad or when one needs to be changed out?
Okay. The first indication that we'll get is there'll be an external leak of fuel, you know, leaking outside the aircraft. And then when the guys start to troubleshoot it, they'll crawl up inside where these bladders are mounted, and there's tape along the wall between the wall and the wall of the bladder that will show an activation when fuel touches it. And on this particular one we're going to change today, we've got a strip of tape along the back wall that was activated, so it lets us know that bladder was leaking in that particular area.
It's like duct tape or fancy military secret tape?
It's a fancy duct tape.
Okay.
Coming up.
Hi.
Hey,
at 10,000 feet, my repair job is put to the test.
Yeah, this far.
This is the guy. This is Sergeant Dickey. I'm going to leave you with him. You'll be in great hands.
Yeah, thanks. What's with the surf shoes there?
Well, you don't want to wear regular street shoes or any kind of rubber-soled shoes in the tank for fear of tearing the cell.
Okay.
Gloves, respirator, glasses.
After you.
All right. Oh, yeah. Okay. So I'm inside a fuel cell.
Where are we going to start off here? We're going to remove all the safety wire off of these fittings.
Right.
The fittings themselves, and then we can begin unlacing.
Is this normally a two-man job, or you do this on your own?
Normally I'll have two guys in here.
Yeah, well, now you got like half of one.
You having fun yet?
Yeah, I'm right on the cusp of fun there, Sergeant Fun. So tell me about the smell. I mean, how long does it take to get this off your clothes, off your skin?
I don't think it ever really comes off.
Huh. All right, so we got the bolts and the washers off. What's the next step?
We're going to unlace the cell.
What do we do exactly?
We're going to have to get out of the cell and then get under it.
Wait a minute, you mean out of the plane? Or
jump out of the plane?
Yeah.
Get underneath the cell.
Crawl underneath the bladder?
Yeah.
Well, that's crazy talk right there.
Is there anything else in there that we might find other than just residual cell slop?
Yeah. Well, the toilet on this jet is right above us. They leak a little bit. I'll crawl up on this side. You crawl up on that side.
Wow. Oh, that's pretty dark.
Yeah.
So we're under the bladder.
Yes.
Oh, man, I got toilet juice down here, and it doesn't smell real good. And the bathroom is right over my head. And I'm trying to untie a bunch of parachute wire that's securing the bladder to the airframe. It's complicated. So, Sergeant, what's your advice for untying a piece of parachute wire that's soaking wet? Hey!
Wash your hands before you eat chicken nuggets.
Wash my hands. Sergeant Dickey's a comedian.
Hey, Sarge.
Has it occurred to you that this $2 billion aircraft is basically held together with rubber and string?
Yeah, it has.
Kind of like our show.
That's just weird, man.
Yeah.
That's just a very odd way to make a living. You're a dirty sergeant.
Thanks, I guess.
Yeah, sure. Don't mention it.
So I wedged myself into an integral tank to replace some faulty sealant. Then I crawled inside a fuel cell to pull out a leaky bladder. Was it all worth it? I'll let you know.
To test my repair job, Colonel Clothier, the commander of the McConnell Air Force Base, will personally pilot this big bird on a refueling run.
Well, here I am in the cockpit of a KC-135R, which is a whole lot more comfortable than being in a fuel cell, especially because Colonel Kathy Clothier is at the stick, as they say. Good morning, Colonel.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing very well. Thanks for having us aboard. Beautiful day for flying, huh?
It is an absolutely beautiful day to fly.
Yeah, we're starting off at, upside down.
So?
Wichita, right here.
Right.
So we're coming out here, and then we're coming down the track, and we're going to meet up with the B-52 down here.
We're going to turn around and head eastbound and do the refueling eastbound. It's about 8 minutes. We should be hooked up.
The KC-135R is all about the front and all about the back.
There's not much I can tell you about the main cabin. It's pretty sparse. But remember, underneath these plywood floors is 100 tons of jet fuel. And right now the job is to get a whole bunch of that jet fuel pumped out of the KC-135 and into a B-52 bomber that, as we speak, is flying up behind us. That happens down here. Hi.
Hi, Mike.
This is Megan. Megan is the boom operator, KC-135?
That's correct.
And that would be the boom.
This is the boom.
All right, now, do I understand that a B-52 bomber is going to come basically flying right up to our doorstep?
That is true. That's true. They're coming right here from our left side, and they should be over any minute. It's their job to get about 50 feet behind us, and that's called pre-contact.
That plane is really close.
Yeah, it is. Get a little bit scary at times.
So your extender is going to go in that little hole over the cockpit. How much fuel are you going to pump into it?
10,000 pounds.
10,000 pounds of jet fuel. How long will that take?
Probably 3 minutes, I'm going to guess.
3 minutes, wow.
So, maybe not that long.
We are this far with a really big plane. Megan has just inserted the line, and now somebody somewhere is going to throw a switch. And the jet fuel is going to start pumping out of the 135 into the B-52.
If you can hear that noise, that's the fuel going down into the boom and going to the B-52.
Maybe coming right out of one of the tanks I cleaned yesterday.
This is true.
About it. Cockpits are nice and flight suits are glamorous. But remember, that's where the action is, the back of the plane. And without the men and women who wear the maintenance suits, the ones who aren't afraid to get dirty, the tank rats, well, the KC-135R Strato tanker would never get off the ground. Hoo-ah. I've made no secret about the fact that without you, dirty jobs would be nothing more than a blank screen. We need your help. We need your ideas. If you have any, go to discovery.com/dirty jobs. Make them dirty. Make them good. Do it now. Dave Barsky, he's everywhere. It's like stepping in gum. Oh, look, there he is again. There he is. One day he'll get his own TV show. Won't that be great? That's Troy, our cameraman.
On his last day on the job.
He's terribly busy. What he's been doing is conducting interviews, and perhaps that's a call back from his next employer, because his current one is in the verge of saying goodbye. Sad for Troy, actually, but... Oh, no, wrong number? Oh, that's unfortunate, Troy. What a silly way to lose a job.